Jude. Jude. And there is no chapter, so Jude is one book. So, and I always want to say Jude chapter 1, but if you don't know where Jude is, it's the book of Revelation, which is the last book, and it's scooted up, and it's the next book in here. It's just a small little book, but it is a powerful little book. Jude is actually Jesus' stepbrother. James was also one of those. And so Jude introduces himself as the brother of James, not the brother of Jesus. Just because of humility, of not to kind of boast that, hey, Jesus was my brother. But in here, it's interesting that Jesus' brothers did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the death, burial, and resurrection, which is fascinating to me. They grew up with Jesus and yet did not recognize him for who he was until after, and they saw that reality. And it just goes to show that sometimes it's hard, especially for family, to see us sometimes as God sees us, right? Our family tends to want to peg us and write us off, and yet God does wonderful works. And so here he had they came to faith, but after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in here, the book of Jude, chapter 1, starts off, I'm just going to just read here the first verse. It says, Jude, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Help if I change the slide. But in here, the encouragement here, he starts writing, and who he writes to. The message here is written to Christians. It's interesting because when we start talking about the unsaved, right, those who are outside of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the message that they need to hear isn't clean up and stop smoking and how to dress. Right? That's not the message for the unsaved. The message for the unsaved is that they need Jesus Christ. Right? It's that simple. We don't have to clean people up to get saved. What they do is they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they get saved, and then God takes care of the rest. But the message to the church is different. Right? The message to the church is how to grow since we got saved. Salvation is the beginning of something. Right? And the message to the church is how to continue on in the faith that started at salvation. And so here Jude is writing to these Christians and trying to encourage them. And he called them who are sanctified by God the Father. Now, I'm old enough to remember when people used to call the room that we're in called the sanctuary, right? In all the hip, cool churches, it's called, you know, it's the auditorium. But I grew up, it was the sanctuary. And I remember as kids, we'd run around and we'd come in and, you know, we'd get yelled at by all the old ladies walking into the church because we were walking too fast or running or probably doing other things. It was like, wait a minute, no, this is the sanctuary. Slow down. Right? Behave yourself. And the term just means to be set apart. So a sanctuary is a room that's set apart for the worship of God. We are sanctified. As Christians, our lives are set apart for God's service. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit comes and now dwells in us. We are used for his purpose, for his goal. And we are set apart to be used by him. Here I am, Lord. Send me, right? As the prophet said. So to you who are sanctified, and this is preserved by Jesus Christ, that not only do we get saved by Christ, but we are kept by him. I'm so glad. I'm glad it's not up to me to keep my salvation. Years ago, I talked to a lady who believed she was into a church, and she believed that you could lose your salvation. And she was always so fearful. She goes, Pastor, I grew up with this guilt that, you know, if I had a wrong thought, oh no, is God going to take away salvation? What if I didn't do something? Or what if I didn't show up at the church this week? Or what if I didn't? She had all this fear that, oh no, I have to hang on to God so tight because I might lose it. And I told her, I said, don't worry. God hangs on to us. I'm so thankful of that. Right? I can let go of him and he still got me. And every time I think of this picture, I think of, you know, walking through a parking lot with a little kid. And my daughter is still old enough. She likes to hold my hand, which is hopefully encourages that goes on a little bit longer. But we'll walk around, right? I'm glad. Now, she's older now, but when she was little, we'd walk in, and she'd hang onto my hand, and I'd hang onto her hand, and I was keeping her safe. But if you're hanging onto a little kid's hand in a parking lot, what happens? Vroom, exactly. Oh, look, a pigeon, you know, or oh, look, a bottle, or look, right? And all of a sudden, they let go of you. But you know what? She's still safe. Why? Because I got her. And God, the loving Father that He is, He keeps us and preserves us, who keeps us from falling. And I'm glad my salvation isn't based on me. It's all based on Him. What a blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Right? So He writes this to the Christian and He really encourages them. The message to the Christians is one of mercy, peace, and love. Right? Mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. I'm so glad. Right? God doesn't pour on me His wrath like He could. But God wishes mercy, and I wish mercy on all His children. Peace. Peace, peace. And the time we really need peace isn't that necessary in times of peace. Right? It's in the stormy times. It's in the difficult times. That's when I really need His peace. And we look at this, that God gives us His peace. And Jesus says, look, my peace I give it to you. Right? Not as the world gives it. Now be careful, because whatever the world gives you, guess what? The world can take away. I was just watching, you know, the news, and we've gotten into this thing now. I don't know, maybe I'm just paying more attention, but presidents are taking more and more power just by executive order. Have you noticed that? And I don't know if that's always been the case. Like I said, I'm just paying attention more. But there's been the last few administrations where, you know, they turn around and sign all this stuff and say, okay, by fiat, this is it, right? And then what happens is it's not law, so the next guy comes in and he changes it all. Then the next guy comes in and he changes it all, right? And I think President Biden came in and it was like, what, 17 executive orders the first day, just reversing, right? I mean, it's crazy how it just changes. There's no security in that. The other day we were walking through, I think it was Walmart, in the middle of the store, they have a tax. It's tax time. Yay! Everyone's favorite. And you know, in here, there's a big sign and a little lady behind the desk doing taxes, right? And it said, due to all the changes. So apparently there's a big rewrite of a lot of the tax laws. How do you keep track of it, right? Things that the government gave you a couple years ago, guess what? The government can come in and take it. If your hope and assurance and your peace is based on the world, guess what? The world can take it away. I'm thankful my peace is on God. And what He gives me, He never takes away. So mercy, peace, and then, of course, love. The fact that God loves me, and I don't know why. Because I'm not a lovely guy. Ask my wife. I'm not an easy guy to love. But God loves unconditionally. Now, I don't always do things He likes. But what can separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing. And no matter what you do, He will love you. And He won't take that away. Mercy, peace, and love. So, Jude starts off this letter, really sort of encouraging, to the saints, and who you are, remember what you have. And he said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, he goes, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. I'm going to stop right there, because I want to take a look at what he says here at the beginning. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common, what, salvation. It doesn't matter if you're in the church here. It doesn't matter if you're church down the road, right? It doesn't matter if you don't go to church at all. All of us, if you are a Christian, you have that commonality of salvation. It's all through faith in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. We are all united. That's why we take communion. It's not a Stockton Springs Community Church thing. It's a Christian thing. We are all equal. We all come to God through the Father, through Jesus Christ. And that all unites us together. And so in here, Jude, I can picture Jude writing this letter, and he goes, look, I want to encourage you in that salvation that we have. And let me tell you something, salvation is a wonderful topic. That we were lost and now we're found. That we're blind but now we see. That in here God transforms lives. That in here we know how our story ends. I know that he's going to prepare a place for me. That's a wonderful thing. A promise that's not just inclusive for me, but for all of us. Salvation, it really wraps up sort of in a nutshell in this. That God is holy. We have a holy, perfect God. There's a problem though. We're sinners. So how do you bridge a gap between a holy God and a sinner? The Bible says Christ died for our sins. He died. And the last point of salvation is that we have to each accept God's grace by faith and by faith alone. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And I've asked him into my heart, into my life, to forgive me of my sins. The Bible says he will do that. That is salvation. I don't care what anyone else tells you. That is the core of it all. It's interesting because we talk with the idea of coming to God, and people have a lot of different ideas. Don't believe it. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And people will say, oh, there's many different roads. Well, you believe what you want, I believe what I want. The Bible says there's only one way. This is salvation. And in order to become part of his family, this is the route in which we have to go. And it's a blessedness because it's not based on our merit. Right? It isn't that I can pat myself in the back and say, oh, you know, God, you're so lucky to have me on your team. Yeah. It's not that I'm such a good boy. No. But God came to save sinners and bring them to himself. Verses that talk about this is all woven throughout Scripture, but they all have these elements in there. John 3:16, probably one of the most popular verses, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God died for you to give you life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That because of my sin, the thing I deserve is death, is separation from God. I deserve to go to hell for all eternity for my sin. It's not a matter of, you know, I haven't killed anyone. You know, I could go through all these big things. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never done, you know, right? All these